I'm Red Scott.
I'm Katie Kirsten.
And this is Pilot Fight.
Yes, it is.
Every week we compare two shows head-to-head and pick a winner in our search for the next great TV show. This week, we are comparing Fox's Lethal Weapon versus HBO's Insecure.
Yes, we are. And what was your choice, Red?
My choice was HBO's Insecure.
What a unique choice for you.
Thank you. Why would you say that? It's a community with which I'm well known for associating and representing.
Well, when I think of you, I always think of you as like a 29-year-old young lady just trying to figure out her way in the world.
Yes.
So it does make sense.
Let me bring people up to speed on HBO's Insecure.
Please.
Title, Insecure. This is developed by Issa Rae and Larry Wilmore. Issa Rae, you probably don't know from anything. If you do know her from something, it would be the creator of the Awkward Black Girl web series.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Wilmore, you might know from The Daily Show. He had his own late night show. He is also the co-creator of Blackish and a bunch of other things.
Indeed.
It airs on HBO, and it airs Sunday nights at 10:30 p.m. I would describe the genre as a comedy.
I would put it into the comedy genre as well.
This is the official network show blurb for Insecure. Created by Issa Rae and Larry Wilmore, the comedy series Insecure explores the black female experience. Rae stars as Issa, and Yvonne Orji stars as Molly. Over the course of the season, Issa attempts to figure out what she wants out of life and how to take control of it, while fumbling her way through this journey. Molly, a corporate attorney who appears to have everything together professionally, struggles inside as she looks for external ways to fix her life.
Which is pretty much how I'd describe you.
Yes, I feel like that is me in a nutshell.
It really is.
When I saw this, I said, this is a show that was built to speak to me, and I'm excited about it. So if we find the network blurbs unnecessarily obtuse, so we have both created our own Twitter-length blurbs that fit in 140 characters to explain what we think of the show. And Katie, would you do us the honor?
I would love to get started.
Bring it.
And here is my tweet for you. Hashtag pilot fight. Hashtag insecure HBO. Delve into female friendship. Which lipstick works? Don't get too real at an open mic. Issa is aggressively passive.
You should always get too real at an open mic. That's the only way anybody's going to laugh. What are you going to do? Share subtle, nuanced observations about society?
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite kind of rap in general, is subtle and nuanced.
Yeah, when are we going to get the Seinfeld of rap? That's all I want.
Oh my God, we don't have that yet, do we?
No.
We'll get one.
It'll come about.
Yeah.
My Twitter episode blurb. Creator of Awkward Black Girl and Larry Wilmore create a prestige comedy about the black female experience in hashtag insecure HBO. Issa kills it. 139 characters.
Why do yours always sound so logical?
I don't know.
Mine sound like a crazy person.
Here's what I think.
I wonder why that is.
I think I have a terrible memory. And so by the time I get to the end of a show, I have about 140 characters worth of thoughts that remain. So I just write that down verbatim.
Well done.
Thank you.
And mine was exactly 140 characters.
Yeah, still, are all of yours exactly 140 characters?
They seem to be.
I want that to be a recurring theme.
I'm gonna try to make sure that happens, because just fitting it in isn't enough. Now it has to be exactly the right amount.
If I was challenging myself, I would actually get the old time radio voice filter and put it on your voice, and then have the like telegram beeping under it. That would make me incredibly happy.
When somebody's paying us to do this, we can make that happen.
We can make it happen.
I look forward to it.
All right, so we've each chosen three notables, elements of the show that stand out to us personally, and I will let Katie go first again.
All right. Hey, I feel so fancy. So I really enjoyed the show, and there were many moments. I could have had lots and lots of individual moments that stood out and were notable to me. So I really tried to narrow this down.
Uh-huh.
And just to bear in mind, these are not necessarily good or bad.
Right.
They're just things that stood out in some way.
They stood out the most.
So One moment that I truly loved was when Issa was in the club. She was out with her friend Molly. Mm-hmm. She had sort of harangued Molly into coming out with her for an evening, just a kind of a girls' night out.
Sure.
And Molly kind of makes eye contact with a guy. His name is Jared. We find out. They do their little introductory handshakes. Issa sticks out her hand to shake his hand, which he has no interest in taking at all. So she proceeds to go into one of the greatest dances that has ever come from somebody refusing to shake your hand. And that moment alone probably sums up everything that happens in Awkward Black Girl, but probably now everything that will happen in Insecure. And it was fabulous to watch.
Yeah, no, that was a great moment. Are you familiar with Awkward Black Girl? I had not seen it.
No, but just given the title.
Just given the title, that's true. Though, not to spoil any of your other thoughts, but it was an interesting title choice.
Awkward Black Girl?
Insecure.
Oh, yes.
I feel like she might have issues with titles in general.
I think she's laying her heart bare with her titles.
I'm going to say my first notable is Issa Goddamn Ray.
Right.
I hadn't seen Awkward Black Girl. I wasn't familiar with her. She is an electric performer. She's mm-hmm. amazing. She has this ability to, like, for comedic effect, just shift emotions 180 degrees.
Yes.
At the drop of a hat. She has an extremely expressive face, and she's just an incredible amount of fun to watch. I'm excited about her future regardless of this show.
I couldn't agree more. So, I think that, sorry, one moment that really showed that off was when she was trying the lipsticks in the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so fabulous. Just that moment alone to watch is purely delightful.
It's a joy to watch. And like sometimes you see a show and usually it's by a stand-up comedian who has built a comedy show based off their own name, and you're like, if this doesn't go, they are done. They're not going to be mm-hmm. in anything else. And I don't feel that Issa Rae is going to be around forever. We're going to be appreciating her on a ton of things. I hope this is the thing that does it for her, but if not, I'm not concerned about her future.
I agree with you. She's going to be around for quite a while.
What is your second notable?
So my second notable is Molly's response to Issa's rap at the open mic.
Okay.
So the girls are out at the club, and this really requires quite a bit of backstory, but at one point, Issa had mentioned to Molly she might be having dating troubles because her pussy was broken.
Yes.
It was almost a throwaway comment. They both laughed about it. It didn't feel like something Issa had developed for Molly. It was as though there was this broken pussy concept that existed already.
Yes.
And she was just saying, hey, maybe this is your problem. Well, when they go out to the club later, which happens to be having an open mic night for rapping, I'm sure it's just called a open mic night.
Yes.
For rapping.
Yes.
Sounds great.
I think, in case you can't tell by our voices, we are both not rappers.
It's true. It's hard to imagine, but it's true.
Neither of us. I haven't been to a rap open mic night. I've been to many comedy open mic nights.
Correct. Yeah. I was thinking that I actually feel like this is something I was missing. I would love to actually see this happen live in person.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. I would say that comedy open mics are equally uncomfortable and equally off rhythm, surprisingly.
So true. But I felt like there was a very generous audience at this open mic.
Yeah.
Unlike 98% of the open mics I participated in.
I'm gonna say 100. I'm gonna say 100% of open mics that I've ever
Fair enough. Been. Fair enough. So Issa is sort of dared to go ahead and get up and rap at this open mic, and she does it. And what she ends up rapping about is broken pussy, which Molly gets very upset about. And I felt that they were trying to create drama.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, they needed it there in the show. They needed Molly and Issa to have a moment that they needed to work out. But I felt that Molly seemed like sort of a logical human being. And for her to get that wildly upset about what had happened on stage there felt forced.
Hmm. Yeah, I could definitely see that. It's one of those things where a lot of the elements of their relationship, as somebody who has not been involved in a woman and woman friendship
yet,
seemed foreign to me. And so right. I was willing to forgive a lot more in that department. I was like, well, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe this is what happens.
It may be an age thing too. They're sure. Both in their 20s.
Uh-huh.
They're nearly 30.
And you're in your mid-teens.
Right. And I am 17 years old. So maybe that's it. But having been through that age, absolutely. There can be sort of overreaction. I just felt like this was pushing it as far as Molly's character seemed to be, which to be fair, we only got 20 some minutes with these ladies.
Right. So similarly, my second one was the MC battle is my worst nightmare. I have been to a lot of other types of open mics, as I mentioned, but just having to watch an open mic just hurts my soul. The fact that they exist, the fact that people would go to them as like a source of entertainment, it's one of those things in life, like eating meat, where you like don't look too far into it because you know it's going to be horrifying. Like, I love people who come out to open mics, but I don't know what they're doing wrong in their life that they're just using that as their only form of entertainment. There are other free forms of entertainment. I hope they're just coming out and judging people there and feeling better about their own lives. Like, that's the only way it's a symbiotic relationship, I feel like.
Well, and that's what it feels like they're doing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to find out that that is, in fact, what they are doing.
Though, so I actually have this as a plus and minus notable, because she thinks something that felt very true to me is she goes up for her very first time and she does fine. But she thinks she fucking killed it.
And, oh, yeah.
And anybody who is like, it's been their dream and they do it and they do moderately well, sees their clear path to stardom from that point. And just her being hyped about it and excited about it. I was like, I've seen that 1,000 times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's every 20-year-old dude who does comedy for the first time and gets one laugh.
Yeah. And isn't smart enough to be like, well, I accomplished that dream. Now to work on a real career.
I'm going to move on. Yeah.
What is your third notable?
My third notable is that, this is coming back to everything being about me, but I think I'm a little bit over watching people in their late 20s or early 30s trying to figure out what they're doing.
No, that's reasonable. I mean, it's a hard thing to judge objectively without just being like, I'm old, but you know,
right.
What watching people in a part of life that, you know, you're not currently in can be very difficult.
Right. Well, and it's just, I had this exact same complaint for episode one of ours. Our episode one for Fleabag.
Yes.
And I enjoyed that show immensely as well, ultimately. But I just think that I am not necessarily the audience for this.
Gotcha.
But, you know, that's not really anything against the show. It's just my place.
Yeah. I mean, I still definitely enjoyed it. And, you know, there is just seeing a side of life that you are not currently involved in can be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Unless you've been through a lot of it, at which point it can feel fucking
exhausting.
Yeah. Right. My third thing is banging soundtrack.
Yes.
This show is so on top of music that I felt 300 years old in a good way. Like, I was like, oh, every song that came up, I was like, I should just be listening to the Spotify playlist from this and claiming that these are my musical taste to strangers. I noticed they opened with Kendrick Lamar, who I know enough to know that that is the current golden boy that everybody thinks is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that the rest of it fit the the show very well, and I'm probably going to look it up later.
I think Spotify might be your answer for this. But it was, I agree. If I could have had 4 points, the music would have been one of mine, because it was great. And it, like you said, it fit every moment.
Yeah.
There was nothing off between what I was watching and what I was hearing.
All of Insecure, like every HBO show, really feels just like perfectly molded. Even when it's not successful, you don't feel that it was unsuccessful because it was sloppy. Like, you feel like, you know, they really smoothed this down to exactly what they wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it just didn't work that time. But as the exact other side of this is our other show.
Right. Which is not HBO, it's TV.
It is TV. It is Fox's Lethal Weapon.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us a little about this show, Katie Kirsten?
I would be delighted to. Thank you for asking. I chose Lethal Weapon partly because I feel like we are drowning in remakes. And for our purposes, we needed to at least check one out and see if maybe somebody just did something awesome that we couldn't get enough of.
Sure.
They did not. Lethal Weapon. Yes.
Yeah, that makes it sound like you very much dislike this show. Is that
I didn't dislike it. I just didn't. There was just nothing so amazing about it that I felt like, oh, thank God they redid that.
Yeah.
Finally, to make something fresh and new.
This is what America needs. That wasn't your reaction?
It was not. Although I'd take it over some other things of late. So Fox is airing. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't actually have its day and time that it's airing, but the series started September 21st of this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it on Hulu, which of course is why I do not have its original time and place. It is
airing when you want it to.
Exactly. It plays when I want it to play. 6 episodes have currently aired. They did get a full season order, so there will be 18 seasons. I mean, 18.
Oh, Jesus. God. There probably will be.
Please, no. There will be 18 episodes.
So I just checked the website. Lethal Weapon airs Wednesdays, 8, 7 Central.
Perfect. Or if you come to my house, whenever I say it will. Fox is listing it as a police procedural action comedy drama. So basically, it's everything.
Yeah, that actually sounds right.
It kind of does. I mean, it suits it. I believe all of those things.
But I feel like it's a recurring thing that it's like, this part is everything.
Exactly, yes. It's elements of everything and sometimes all things at once. It was created by Matthew Miller. And did you see Forever? It aired in 2014. This is how much Lethal Weapon has thrown me. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
the numbers are written in front of me, and I can't get it out right.
It aired in 1914. Not a lot of people saw it because of the start of the Great War.
That really crushed its chances, but yeah. It was excellent. No, it was a 2014-15 season show. Did you happen to see it at all?
Sorry, Forever? Is that what it
Forever.
Was? Forever. Mm-hmm. It sounds so familiar. I feel like I might have watched that over my wife's shoulder.
Okay, I do think that you would enjoy it. It's essentially it's kind of a time-bending show. I won't say it's time travel exactly, but it's a great premise. I loved it. And so I thought, oh, you know, hopefully this guy will do good things with Lethal Weapon. It also stars Clayne Crawford. He plays the part of Martin Riggs, and we all know him, originally played by Mel Gibson.
Yes.
And then Damon Wayans is playing Roger Murtaugh, the old man to Martin Riggs' young cowboy.
Some would say too old.
Some would say too old for this. So Clayne Crawford was actually interesting to me. I do have him, I think, as one of my points. But before I get into that, what I loved about him is that he sounds like he should be a cowboy. Like, he was given a name that he should just be a cowboy. And my favorite part is that the show prior to this that he was on was Rectify, where he played Ted Talbot Jr., which frankly could have been his other real name. he's just falling into the right parts.
Right. I do feel like there's a thing that happens a lot of sports teams are very superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice certain people in non-essential roles happen to have names that you know that somebody just... There's several famous photographers for baseball teams
mm-hmm.
who have the same name as a famous baseball player.
Really? And
like Ted Williams is a sports photographer. There's a couple other like that you just know the owner was like, we have to do that.
Right. Like they're going to curse themselves if they don't.
Yeah. Like, do you want to piss off Ted Williams? I don't.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ted Talbot Jr. / Clayne Crawford, he knows where to go for good parts.
So do you have the network synopsis for the show?
I do. And just one other quick note. This movie, the original Lethal Weapon, aired in 1987. So it has been a while since this was a thing.
I'm going to say 29 years.
Yeah. Which seems just frigging crazy to me.
Yeah.
Issa Rae wasn't alive to see the original.
Wow.
Yeah. Just to put that in perspective.
Yeah.
So the IMDb synopsis for this is TV show based on the popular Lethal Weapon.
Wait, I'm going to need to stop you. They start off explaining it's a TV show.
Yeah. Yep.
They had to start that far back. They're like, listen, based on marketing's research of the people who will actually watch this.
You need to know that this is a television show.
A series of moving pictures.
Right.
Combined with audio.
With the original happening in 1914, people are confused.
It's been 102 years.
A TV show based on the popular Lethal Weapon films, in which a slightly unhinged cop is partnered with a veteran detective trying to maintain a low stress level in his life.
That's the whole thing?
Yeah. Yep.
You find much shorter blurbs than I do.
Yes.
Is that on purpose?
Yes. I'm just like, whatever I do, I want it to be shorter than whatever Red said.
Fair.
I mean, I think this does overall kind of sum up what is happening. But I got to say again, I keep seeing these little blurbs and I realize this is IMDb. So it's not like they're trying to sell me the show. But it's not the most appealing. It's like you have to have just liked Lethal Weapon, the movie, to care at all about the rest of the sentence.
Right. And it's a concern when they need to explain to you that the movie Lethal Weapon was popular.
Right. Right.
Seems a little defensive.
It is a little defensive.
Guys, people
They probably
really
just
like
want
this.
You to go click on it.
Yeah. So should I do the Twitter blurb
yes,
that I've come up with?
Please.
All right. This is my 140 character or less version, which I believe I nailed it right on the head this time for the first time.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Damon Wayans and White Guy try to resurrect the buddy cop genre in Fox's reboot of hashtag Lethal Weapon. High budget stunts with first draft scripts. That's my description.
That is fabulous. You did. You nailed it right on the head.
Yeah, I had not seen White Guy before. And I didn't. I liked his performance, but it was just like, I know who Damon Wayans is.
Right.
And clearly they did not feel that confident about his level of talent. Like, if this is who he's paired with.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yes. I had some questions about Damon Wayans, but we'll get to that. So my Twitter blurb is hashtag pilot fight, hashtag lethal weapon. You actually might like this because it's almost a real sentence. It's not going to have that feel of my standard newscast.
I think you're wrong. I'm going to miss the newscast.
I'm so sorry. Well, here we go. Let's see how you feel. Feels nicely familiar, but with 80% less Riggs crazy eyes and 99% chance that Murtaugh will yell, homie, don't play that.
Well, Well, first of all, I love that you put numbers in it. Anytime there's percentages, I'm extremely happy.
You're a numbers guy.
I am a numbers guy. Listen, if we could just do this with data, we would. We would just read the numbers and everyone would know what show they want to see. It'd be
amazing. That's all we'd do, because that's exciting.
So let's get into our three notables.
Yes, please. What is your first notable?
The first thing, and this is a negative, they pulled, if you've seen the movie Up, you would know that in the first 15 minutes, they pull one of the most dramatic turns, especially in an animated movie, but really in any movie, where they introduce characters, you experience their lives, you sympathize with them, and then there's a great loss at the end of them.
Right.
That really works on every level and fires on all cylinders. And on this show, they tried to accomplish that in 5 minutes, and they didn't give you enough to get invested in the characters. It was so compacted. So what happens is we're introduced to Riggs' character, Martin Riggs, who's having a crazy out there time trying to capture, I'm going to call them banditos, because in this show, that's what they would call them at some point eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes directly to his wife dying immediately. And his pregnant wife dying immediately. And it's so close to the front of the show that it's just like they tried, because at first they're trying to have a lot of fun with this chase scene. It's an action. They're showing his relationship with his wife, his sweet, over the phone call. It's absurd because like he's literally getting shot at and trying to pretend he's not doing anything that extreme.
Right.
So they're kind of being jokey about it. And then she dies all of a sudden, and he drives to the hospital, and there's what would be a very, and I'm sure is a heartbreaking scene to many, but I was just like, you've just thrown every emotion at me in 30 seconds.
Correct.
And it's so none of it resonated. It just felt like a very surreal scene. And so,
yes,
so
just too fast.
Didn't work for me at all. I don't know how you felt about it.
I didn't hate the scene. My biggest problem with that scene was, if I'm talking to my husband and we're on cell phones and he turns on the faucet in the kitchen to rinse off a dish,
yeah,
it sounds like I'm suddenly standing next to a waterfall. And yet she's on the phone with him. He's driving 500 miles an hour. There's a shooting going on. There's some other guy in the car, and he's like, oh, hey, babe, everything's fine. And she's like, cool, I'm about to have a baby. Like, come on. Like, you're asking me to suspend my disbelief so far, so fast.
I
was hanging on to that by the time the terrible things happened.
Not to get too far off the point, but I really felt like this show was its strongest when it was being sort of a trashy, ridiculous buddy cop show.
Agreed.
And I felt like they would have been much better off to not show how he had lost his wife and just introduce that in the episode that he has lost his wife and unborn child.
Right.
I feel like the show would be stronger because that's not what the show really is.
Agreed.
So yes. What is your first notable thing about Lethal Weapon?
My first notable thing is, I'll just start there with sort of the nonsensical things happening. The phone call that we just talked about kind of falls into that. At one point, there's a bank robbery, and this is when Riggs and Murtaugh are first meeting, and you see Riggs standing somewhere between the cop cars, which have cordoned off the entrance to the bank, and the bank entrance, and you can tell that he's got something brewing. And then suddenly he's walking into the bank with a stack of three pizzas that he produced from
nowhere. There was not enough time to do anything. He didn't like, there should have been a scene where he literally just sees a pizza guy, takes the pizzas from him.
Right. And I'm assuming that's what they were, what we were supposed to assume happened, but there was no, it was like three pizzas fell from heaven and he took them.
Yes.
At another point, there's kind of a, you know, classic shootout situation that happens in a warehouse, inside the warehouse, which, by the way, I'm assuming has electricity, but they have inexplicably parked all the cars in a circle. Uh-huh. And turned all their headlights on.
Yeah, man.
And so this all feels great when the cowboy kind of saunters in and they get to have their blah, blah, whatever. But for the situation that was actually supposed to be happening, which was the trade-off between a desperate mother and some thugs who have taken her kid, I couldn't understand why that setup was there.
And I want to say that, like, a lot of times when we're doing these, people are like, I don't understand the context of what's happening. Watching the show would not help you.
It will not help you. That so, is my point.
Don't think that we're explaining this badly. This is chronologically a very difficult show.
It's true. And just assume that whatever I'm saying is much like a pizza falling from the sky.
Yes.
Into your hands.
How did that show up in this dialogue?
So it was things like that that were simply just wildly distracting to me. Yeah. But I have to say, as a side note, all of these things do kind of make sense because this show has an executive producer who also happened to direct the pilot, and that person is McG.
McG?
Yes. So if you are familiar with, say, the Charlie's Angels movies.
Or the music video Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Right. Which was his job immediately prior to the first Charlie's Angels movie, I might add. Those were 2 years apart.
He goes by McG.
McG. And so that actually explains a lot of what is happening. And I in some ways, I love that. In some ways, it's very distracting. So anyway, sorry. Carry on. What is yours?
My first notable.
Your number
sorry,
two
my second notable. Yes. Is it honestly feels like they filmed a whole season of this show, decided to scrap it, but they were going to make one episode by taking all of the pieces they liked from the first season and just plugging them together. I have to assume they had 900 reshoots on this.
Yes.
And then it involved just an editor just cursing constantly. There are just the most... two characters. This happens in the first 5 minutes and should not happen. So this is spoiling a dramatic point, but I feel like you're better off for it. So the Martin Riggs' wife is killed when she drives in front of a bus.
Mm.
Later in the episode, there is a random character in front of Martin Riggs killed by getting run over by a bus, and that is played by. For a comic effect, and those two events are completely unrelated and go unremarked upon. That there is some dramatic irony to the viewer that we have seen two characters killed by surprise buses that came from off screen.
To be fair, all buses that kill you are surprise buses.
Yes. If they were not a surprise, you would have gotten out of the way.
It's interesting hearing you say this because I do not remember the wife's car getting hit by a bus.
So it was... So you remember she was hit by another vehicle, correct?
Yes.
So yes. It could have been a semi, but they were both large industrial vehicles.
Agreed. Yes. I did not. It was interesting because I saw your note on that and I just had not put two and two together. But yes, that makes total sense that it should have. I think that was actually kind of part of the problem with her death at the beginning is it did just happen so fast. It was sort of like, you know, we all had to move on from it.
Yeah.
So I didn't retain it.
Yeah, it just seemed, and it was recurring throughout the whole episode that certain scenes just felt like they were unrelated to anything else that had happened, and the characters who were living them seemed unaware that they had lived these previous lives.
Right. They were just like Michael from The Good Place.
Yes, they were just like Michael from The Good Place. A wonderful TV show.
Everything's fresh and new, every moment.
What is your second notable?
My second notable is, so I actually have this down as sort of a plus and a minus, not because they get rid of each other, but just because I felt kind of two ways about this, was Keisha Sharp, who plays Trish Murtaugh. And the plus was that I really enjoyed every single moment she was on the screen. Mm-hmm. I felt like she was a very, just a captivating actress. And I enjoyed watching her interact with her kids, with Riggs, with Murtaugh, every moment that she was there. The downside is that I can't tell outside of the pilot, obviously. But I'm concerned that she is going to be completely wasted in this show. She was almost wasted in this first episode.
Right.
Because she's a high-powered, highly paid attorney, but she spends the entire episode just trying to make sure her husband is okay.
She spends the entire episode just really being way more responsive to other things than his sexual drive.
That's true. She doesn't care.
Not at all. Not interested.
She cares, like, intellectually.
Yes. Yeah, she's like, understands it's a thing that probably should happen in their marriage at some point, but really, who has the time?
But right now, Riggs needs to come over, so.
Fucking Riggs.
No, Riggs.
Oh, so my third notable point for Lethal Weapon is the recklessness of Riggs' approach is real fun and dumb. Like, there is a part of this show that, if you can get to it, is just like, it's at its best when it is a kind of silly, corny action comedy, you know, that sort of doesn't care about the bounds of reality
at all.
And is, and I would like it to be procedural more than anything. Like, I'd like to have everything set back to zero at the end of the episode and come back next week and watch another one.
Right.
The bank scene, which is stupid, is really fun.
It was.
Fun and trashy. And every time that Riggs is sort of just throwing his life away in an attempt to be a hero, I'm 100% on board for it. And similarly, like, Damon Wayans is, when he's being Damon Wayans, is a lot of fun to watch, and in a dumb, unrealistic way that I feel like they should focus on and not try and tug at my heartstrings when they have something else going that actually works.
Agreed. I think that's a perfect assessment of what should be happening.
Yes.
And that actually kind of ties into my third as well, which was, as I mentioned before, my newfound obsession with Clayne Crawford as Riggs. I really enjoyed him. Now, for complete transparency, immediately after watching this episode last night, I watched Lethal Weapon 1987, the movie.
Ooh.
So it was interesting to watch back to back. And I think one of the things the show is missing is that Martin Riggs in the film is completely nuts. Like, he doesn't just have crazy eyes. He is just off. He is fully unhinged.
People forget how Australian Mel Gibson used to be.
Exactly. So Australian. And then he's got Murtaugh as his counterpart, who seems... both of the men playing Murtaugh are playing him as a 50-year-old man.
Right.
I need to look up his name. I'm so sorry.
Danny Glover?
Thank you. Danny Glover?
Yes.
That feels so weird.
Because we talked a lot about Donald Glover and they're unrelated.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. Okay. So Danny Glover plays a 50-year-old who seems like he could maybe be 60.
Yes.
He's just very kind of staid. And I think that combined with Mel Gibson's Riggs is super dynamic. Whereas with this TV show, you have a more kind of amped up Murtaugh with Damon Wayans playing the character and a way mellower Riggs played by Clayne Crawford.
Yeah.
So there just isn't sort of the character difference. However, that being said, I thought Clayne Crawford carried, which I'm sure you hated, just a better sort of weightiness to his character. I felt more like he actually was upset and in pain and trying to deal with sort of the tragedies of his life and wanting to be not alive anymore. And I thought he did a really great job with that.
I feel like he did a great job with it. And I think he did such a good job in showing that in his expressions and in his face that you don't need to show any of that stuff to us and just have him reacting, sort of expressing that pain, with his performance. So I think I'm actually in agreement with you. That was great, and I think they should have relied on it more.
Yeah, just put, yes. Yeah, we just didn't. Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right. So I think that it comes down to it now. Are you ready to evaluate Insecure versus Lethal Weapon, which I think is our hardest? Look, here's what I'm going to say. Normally, I know 100%. I'm not even sure what I'm going to choose right now.
I am not sure what you're going to choose either.
So let's work through it. Who would you recommend Lethal Weapon to, and who would you recommend Insecure to?
Okay, so Insecure, I think at this point, I would actually recommend to anybody who enjoyed Fleabag.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't think they're wildly similar shows, but I think that there is enough of a similarity that people will like them, especially if you're drawn to it because of that sort of like, what am I doing with my life kind of sense.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon. Well, I don't know who I would recommend this to exactly. I think really any friends that I have who just like junk food TV.
Yeah.
But aren't looking for a reality. Yeah. Reality TV. Not, I mean, there's no reality involved, but yeah, just kind of junk food TV. And I loved it for that.
I would, for Insecure, I'd recommend it to any people who are much cooler than me. I felt like...
So not me.
Not me. Not me. Not you. Nobody on the show. Yeah, also, I mean, they're explicitly focusing on the black female experience. Anybody who's black and female who is unaware of this show, I would recommend to check it out and, you know, tell me what you think of it. I would recommend it to... It reminds me similar in tone to most HBO comedies, which somehow always, like, they focus a lot on the dramatic element.
Right.
So, like, it has, in a lot of ways... The pilot even reminds me of shows like Silicon Valley, which gets much much sillier as it goes on. But the I would say it reminds me of the Silicon Valley pilot in a lot of ways, in the ways that it's polished. And so if the low budget, poorly put togetherness of most comedies bothers you, like that is not an issue here. This is a very real world they've constructed. And so anybody who is interested in a comedy that's maybe a little more grounded and has dramatic elements to it is who I would recommend it to.
I think that's a good call.
So most of these pilots you can watch for free, but past that, you have to pay. Would you pay to see the second episode of these shows?
I would not.
Either of them, no.
No, I don't think I would pay to see either of them.
Here's the thing. This is the first time I've thought about this question this way. There's a world in which I would watch a lot of Lethal Weapon. There is no world in which I would pay for it.
Yes.
The chance of me having the box set of Lethal Weapon, even if I've been informed that the internet is going down forever and it will be the only way to access it, is zero. The Lethal Weapon is pure found TV. I'm not seeking it out.
It's true.
Insecure. I wouldn't pay for the second one. I do want to. I would like to give it more of a chance, but I'm not hooked yet.
Agreed. Yeah, I just didn't. Yes, there wasn't enough of either that was pulling me in to pay for it.
Right. And that I guess that ties into you're on a desert island. There's a drone helicopter over you. He refuses to land or help you in any way, but he will drop one more episode of either Lethal Weapon or Insecure. Katie Kirsten, what do you do?
I'm going to take Lethal Weapon.
Oh! This terribly put together trash TV show.
You know what it is? I didn't connect with anybody or any situation going on Insecure.
Right.
Period. And if stranded on a desert island, and this is the one thing I get to watch, I don't care about watching something for how great the production value is and how good the writing is if it doesn't resonate with me at all. Whereas a goofball cowboy running around town that is me through and through. I just think for entertainment value, pure and simple, Lethal Weapon. What about you? What is the pilot giving you? The drone pilot, what are they dropping down?
Yeah, I think I am going to go with Insecure. I think I'm going to go with Insecure. And it is very close. And I think what it actually comes down to for me is... I did enjoy Insecure, and I liked watching it. I probably did enjoy the pilot of Lethal Weapon a little bit more, even when it was bad. It was almost so bad it was good at times. But here's what it comes down to for me. There's a 0% chance that Lethal Weapon is going to be the best new show of the season.
Truth.
So since I'm so close on them, there is an outside chance that I might enjoy an episode of HBO's Insecure much more if I get to watch a second one.
I think that's fair. Can we go past the island?
Can we go past the island? What do you mean?
Well, in that... So I know we had sort of discussed, like, the island would determine which we would pick.
Right.
But honestly, I would pick Lethal Weapon to watch on the island.
Yeah.
Hands down, Insecure is the better show.
Yeah. I mean,
so I absolutely vote 100% in the direction of Insecure as far as which show is ultimately better.
Right. But there is...
just wouldn't pick it to watch on an island.
No, that's fair. I mean, and the thing about the island is, like, there are some other aspects that we hadn't considered, and maybe we should talk about whether we intended. Like, you're going to need some escapism on the island. Like, maybe you're less concerned about learning about other communities when you're not going to ever be exposed to them because you're trapped on an island.
This is your community. You and the coconuts.
I will say... I'm willing to keep it on the island, but also with the understanding that I'm going to be able to make another choice once I've seen the second episode.
Oh, the drone comes by again.
Of course it does.
These people are assholes.
They're not
like, who
great.
Just keeps delivering you?
It is torture. They've built this island so that a billionaire can determine what are the good shows on television.
I think we're
year.
Developing our own The Bad Place.
Yes, we are. That is what's happening. but so I'm gonna say Insecure. Are you, and you're going with Lethal Weapon?
Well, it depends on what the question is.
Right.
So if I have to pick for the island what the better show is, I'm gonna go with Insecure. If I have to pick for the island just what I want to watch, it would be Lethal Weapon.
Right. Okay. Well, I feel like this is a scenario where we haven't quite gotten there yet, but please tell us which one you would like to do, and we will accept that feedback.
Absolutely, we will accept it, and you may or may not stay on the island with us.
No, yeah, well, I mean, if you want to stay on the island, that'd be great, unless you're really obnoxious, in which case, like, right. I mean, yeah, that's going to be, there's no meat on the island, and, you know.
Correct. So. Well, you don't want to get too far into how meat works.
Yes.
There's really no don't. Meat. There's no strippers. You just don't want to know how these things really happen.
And that's it for this week's episode of Pilot Fight. We will have more episodes coming in the future. Please hit us up if you have any feedback. You can find us on Twitter. I'm @red_Scott. You can hit Katie up at... Wit Like a Girl. You can also email us at pilotfightpod@gmail.com. And I think that's about it.
That's it. See you later.
Bye.